Podcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are all hoping and praying that we're coming near to getting back to work. New Mexico's like many states in the country. We need our small business people and everybody to get back to making money and making a living for their families. And to talk about that with us today is Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation. And Paul, welcome into ABQ Connect. How are you? Paul, do we have you online there?
Yeah, I can hear you, yes. How are you doing, Jim?
I'm doing well. I want to direct everybody, even as you're listening to today's show, an amazing website Paul Gessing has put together. It's called the RioGrandeFoundation.org website. All kinds of things, everything from the Constitution, the economy, education, energy, healthcare, local government, transparency, testimony, the legislature, and I'm amazed, Paul, at all the information that is available for people. But you have concerns. You have 8-9 points that you put together about how New Mexico could get back to work. I've said this to you before, Paul, but I appreciate you because you don't complain about things without giving an alternative, without giving a suggestion as to how it could be fixed. So I really appreciate that because you're not out there complaining. You're about trying to make New Mexico better and make it safer and a better place for us to raise our families. So appreciate all that you're doing with the Rio Grande Foundation.
Well, thank you. Yeah, these are unprecedented times for everybody. We at the Rio Grande Foundation, of course, deal with economic issues facing the state of New Mexico. You can go to RioGrandeFoundation.org and find, like you said, a treasure trove of information about where New Mexico stands, why we've always traditionally faced economic challenges, what we can do to get out of this crisis situation, kind of short term, and of course some of the long term issues that we face and how we can address what's happening in the oil and gas markets and other aspects of our economy. And Jim, we've been talking for a while now, and a couple months ago I would have told you, heading into November and the election of all 112 of our legislators, that the economy was going to be great. We were looking at strong growth and oil and gas and just making sure that we didn't screw that up. And now we're in a whole unprecedented situation where, as of yesterday, at least for a short time, oil and gas oil prices were in the negative. Now, they've come back a little bit. Today, they're up at $9 a barrel, which sure beats the heck out of negative $30+ a barrel. But if just that was happening in New Mexico's economy, we would be facing a special session. There's a lot to unpack here when the legislature does meet, but the governor also has a chance to really get us on a firm footing. And I haven't seen a lot of leadership, unfortunately, coming out of the governor's office yet.
Well, this is a massive problem. And in anticipation of what political folks typically do is raise taxes at times of economic downturns. You've predicted and projected that the governor will probably have to call a special legislative session. I don't know how that will be done logistically, maybe even virtually somehow. But the bottom line is that they're going to have to get together because we're losing billions of dollars of revenue from oil and gas industry. We're now concerned about the people living in southeastern New Mexico because they don't have a way to make a living now. It's a very difficult situation, and I guess you have some oil and gas production up in the Farmington area. So New Mexico is really going to be in dire straits, not just with our budget, but people of our state now are going to be really hurting. So, Paul, let's get started and talk about, you're anticipating that the politicians may want to start raising taxes, and you've put together an economic downturn taxpayer protection pledge. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, we do face unprecedented challenges, but New Mexicans are also among the most economically strapped folks in the entire country. A group called the Mercatus Center, which is a national think tank, which does economic research, they looked at the fiscal condition, you know, kind of the balance sheets and overall economics of each individual state. The thing that stuck out to me, and this is a 2018 report, so long before the coronavirus, but they said on one of those measures, do states have enough fiscal slack that if spending commitments demand more revenues, are states in a good position to increase taxes without harming the economy? New Mexico, they ranked 50th in this index on that issue. What they're saying is that New Mexicans have less money, less ability to pay more taxes than the taxpayers in any other state in the entire country. And that's before this whole situation unfolded. So what we're saying is we want legislators across the political spectrum. We have three major parties these days in New Mexico because libertarians are considered a major political party, and they've got candidates running. So we're getting pledges from candidates on the Republican, Democrat, and libertarian side of the spectrum. And we are encouraging them all to say through a legislative session, the 60-day session in 2021, so through that session, I will not raise taxes. I mean, we know how bad things are for the businesses in our state, the private sector. Those folks and the workers who work for them simply cannot afford to pay more taxes. Now, we haven't heard anything from the governor, so we're urging that the governor come up with some specific details about what she wants to do moving forward, but we are trying to head off the possibility for higher taxes, and we think that this is kind of the no-brainer. Every elected official in our state should say, look, government is going to have to come to the table and make some painful cuts. This is not about the private sector. So far, we haven't seen much sacrifice out of government in New Mexico.
Paul, you have come up with about 8 points that our state needs to consider to get people back to work. And we're going to talk about those in 1 minute. But tomorrow on the program, we're going to have Congressman Steve Pierce, who is, of course, the chairman of the New Mexico Republican Party. We've extended invitations to people in the Democrat Party but haven't gotten any response. But at least the Republican Party nationally is coming up with a plan and proposing options. And, of course, those are heavily criticized by the other party, without even anything being implemented. And I'm really interested to talk to you about this subject, because when you come up with a plan and you come up with actions that are, you know, detailed, you're invariably opening yourself up to criticism. But for me, it looks like in knowing you and what you publish on your website, that it just seems a way for us to begin thinking about this and putting together a plan. And both sides of the aisle are going to have to come together on this. So let's talk to you about your ideas. How do we get New Mexico back to work?
Well, the first thing we need to do is come up with some basic guidelines and understand, based on science, how people can and should interact. We have our own podcast. It's called Tipping Point New Mexico, and I interviewed one of my board members. She's an optometrist up in Los Alamos, and her practice, like all non-emergency medical practices, is completely shut down right now. So we talked about how, based on the current science and understanding of this virus and its spreading, how she can get customers in to her office. She said things like, everybody wear masks. Nobody sit in a waiting room. Various other protections that are common sense. Now, that's different perhaps from what a home store might include, like, you know, place you go to get your gardening supplies. And, you know, our eight points are based on coming up with some kind of scientific approach to the virus and then saying, well, should Home Depot be open but not your local garden store? Should golf courses really be closed outright? Should the 35 state parks be closed outright? You know, considering especially that about half of those parks are lakes and other bodies of water, is it really something that you can't socially distance yourself out on one of these lake areas? And I think there's a lot of considerations that can be made about various aspects of these, but we have to have some consistent kind of rubric or considerations made. What risks are worth taking and what risks should be not taken in this new world of the coronavirus? And we need to come up with some broad guidelines for businesses to operate under. Just closing off such a large segment of our economy is simply not a tenable situation for the long term.
So, Paul, you've said this is what we need to do. Is it possible that you can get legislators on a Zoom call and start talking about this and come up with, you know, 10 or 20 guidelines and let that be the framework for how we get this done? I mean, who has to make this happen? Is this the responsibility of the governor?
Well, it is. And, you know, when you do talk to Congressman Pierce, the chairman of the Republican Party tomorrow, I think it's worth asking the chairman and Republicans what they're doing to put forth alternatives. Because, yes, the Republicans have very little power in this situation. You know, they've talked about a special session, but the logistics behind that are tricky with the virus and the fact that, you know, you get people together in the roundhouse and the legislature, 112 of them, but you also have to have staff and lobbyists, and, you know, it definitely makes the social distancing issue a challenge. But I think right now is the opportunity for the Republicans and anybody outside of power to put out a coherent scientific set of approaches and guidelines for the future of New Mexico and how we get out of this crisis. The governor really at this point has all the cards, all the power. Obviously a special session of the legislature will happen at some point to really dig into the budget and pass something that makes sense and alternative. But yet again, the Democrats have control over that process. The Republicans really have limited real political power. And so I think this is the opportunity for the GOP to use the bully pulpit and set out guidelines like, should we raise taxes or not? Like, what specific provisions should be made to allow businesses to open? Are we just going to keep churches and restaurants and liquor stores and gun stores closed? Mm-hmm. Or can they open when the virus reaches a certain point? Can they open now in counties that haven't seen much in the way of outbreaks? Because as we've seen across the country, where New York City and parts of New Jersey are really where this virus has hit the hardest, we've also seen parts of New Mexico that have been hit, primarily on the Navajo Reservation, somewhat in Sandoval County, somewhat in Bernalillo County, but folks in Lincoln County, folks in Lee County, Eddy County, you know, out in these rural communities are seeing minimal to no impact from this virus. What can they do to get started pretty quickly and get ahead of the curve in terms of their economic recovery?
Well, I haven't traveled down to the southeast part of the state for a long time, but small communities like Dora and even communities like Portales, they depend upon, you know, they all have these wonderful diners where you can go have breakfast, and there's never more than, you know, two or three people in one of these diners at the same time. And all of these businesses right now are basically shut down. And so it sounds like if we've got to wait another 2 weeks or another 4 weeks or another 6 weeks for there to be a plan in place, some of these people may never, ever be able to recover financially. So the call that you've put out there, the plan that you've put out there, Paul, this seems like a lot could be decided in 3 or 4 hours tomorrow in a group meeting. And all that has to really happen is we need to get people together on both sides of the aisle, have a conversation, take a lot of the data that you've already researched, and there's so much more that's available to people. And the funny thing is I know if they ask you to participate, you'd be right there trying to help them in the whole situation, wouldn't you?
No doubt about it. And, you know, unfortunately, the state has kind of a partisan approach to things. Our governor's been pretty partisan from day one. And, you know, when it comes to economics, you know, going through the last two legislative sessions. She's really thrown any alternative perspective, any fiscal restraint to the wind. And I haven't seen much willingness for her, from her, or her closest advisors to consider alternative approaches. You know, Twitter is, you know, and social media has become such an important part of, things today because we're all socially isolated and living in this very uncomfortable state. But, Jim, this quote from her, the governor's press secretary, Tripp Stilnecki, he says, "You don't have to ask the death cult their opinion or publish their quotes. False equivalence now is actually life or death. There is no both sides to this. There's one group preaching accelerated illness and death because they love business. And if you can't see through that ? Now, unfortunately, that is not the attitude of somebody who is willing to hear both sides, to consider innovative ways. It's very much a us against them bunker mentality. And, that was a quote that certainly made its way into the media across the state. And, it's something that's very concerning, not just because it's so hostile, but it's really about, you know, is this something we're all in together, or is this something where we are trying to solve things and everybody who disagrees with us is in a death cult? And, unfortunately, we've seen a lot of that us versus them rhetoric, coming out of Santa Fe during this crisis. And it's definitely going to, I think, have some long-term ramifications for what we do moving forward with the virus, with the economy, et cetera.
Absolutely. Paul Gessing is the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, a frequent contributor to our program. We have a lot more with Paul this afternoon. Want to make sure everybody's aware of tippingpointnm.com. That is a podcast that Paul puts out on a weekly basis. Tremendous information. The RioGrandFoundation.org is his website. And we'll be back with more from Paul. Stay with us on ABQ Connect right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Ben Lucero, president and owner of Indigo Mortgage. In the society we're in today, COVID-19 is on the top of all of our minds, and rightly so. But we can also look at the bright side of life, like God still loves us and He loves our families, along with giving us an opportunity like no other to spend time together without the busyness of life. At Indigo Mortgage, we believe in helping families, and we're blessed to be considered an essential business by the government. So we are able to continue helping clients and their families, either by refinancing to a better rate or by helping fulfill their new home purchase. Although we cannot meet face-to-face, we have a full staff available by phone, email, or you can complete an application on our website. Indigo Mortgage is honored to be part of this community, and we're here to help. Contact Indigo Mortgage today, 836-5700. That's 836-5700, or on the net at indigomortgage.net. NMLS 23-1962 and 188-348, and may God bless you.
Can church still happen when church is closed? It already is. With Calvary Church at Home, all regularly scheduled Calvary Church services are still happening. Our midweek and weekend services are broadcast online at live.calvarynm.church, so we can continue to pray, worship, and receive biblical teaching even when we can't gather together as a congregation. So don't miss worship with battle drums. Plus a fresh teaching from Pastor Skip Heitzig on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m., Saturdays at 6:30 p.m., and Sundays at 8, 9:45, or 11 a.m. During Calvary at Home services, you can engage in live chat with Calvary Church pastors. Submit prayer requests and let us know how we can help you with your next step in growing in your relationship with Jesus and people. And if you're healthy and willing, host or join a watch party with five or fewer friends, neighbors, or family members. And join us together for Calvary Church at Home at live.calvarynm.church.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Heroes, on the front lines. In hospitals, clinics, police, and fire stations all over Albuquerque, they sacrifice their lives to keep ours safe. At KNKT and Stardate, we want to give them a shout-out of thanks. We're dropping off food and treats in the name of our stations and you, our listening family. Here are the power partners making this possible.
Partnering with Monroe's Restaurant and Latitudes.
KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are talking about getting back to work all around the country as we all navigate through this COVID-19 virus. It's been devastating to many, many people from an economic standpoint. And we, of course, have our thoughts and prayers going out to families that have lost loved ones. But we at the same time have to go on with life. We have to work. We have to organize things. And I'm going to pose a question to you, Paul. I'm going to the grocery store, to Walmart and Smith's and Albertsons, and doing that a couple times a week, sometimes helping my parents out who are elderly. And I'm going and you know, wearing a mask and doing all the things they want you to do to protect other people. So you wear a mask, and that's one of the things they talk about. I know there's data that indicates that may not help that much, but that gives comfort to other people. So I've been doing that when I go out to the public. But, for example, last week I had Steve Smotherman, the pastor of Legacy Church, here on the program, and he was saying, and very frequently misquoted because of the actions they took, they filed a lawsuit against the state of New Mexico, not so that they could have services at Legacy. That's not what it was about. They're perfectly fine with utilizing technology and having virtual services and all of that. What Pastor Smotherman was concerned about is the, you know, day before Easter, the governor comes out with some statutes that are going to limit the number of his staff that he can have working on these various things, all adhering completely to the social distancing requirements and everything else. He said on the program, I've got a 60,000 square foot building that I want to put 10 employees in. We're not going to be violating, you know, any social distancing requirements. And yet he couldn't get the cooperation that he would have expected.
Yeah. And, churches are definitely on our list of, entities and industries that should be reconsidered in terms of opening. And, yeah, it's not that the people who are trying to open things up around here and across the country, at least the thoughtful people, there are some people who are just idiots, pardon my French, but, folks who don't really care about themselves and other people and are, you know, going to act, kind of dumb to begin with. And, you know, the point you made about the mask, it's not about the mask necessarily protecting other people. I mean, this is a situation where you as an individual really have to be responsible for yourself and your family and their health. Mm-hmm. You have to be comfortable with what you're doing and responsible with what you're doing, washing your hands, not going into situations, et cetera. You know, other people have to take the same precautions, and if everybody does that, things will be just fine. But certainly, you can't leave it up to somebody else to protect yourself. And I kind of look at it, not to go into a tangent, but it's the same way in Albuquerque. You're driving, you get to a four-way intersection, and you can't assume that the other person, and we've seen it, is going to be responsible and stop at the stoplight or the stop sign or wherever it is. You know how Albuquerque drivers are too, Jim, and you got to make sure that they are aware, that other person is aware of what they're doing before you pull out into that intersection and take your own life in your hands, which is what you're doing. And driving is a important part of our day-to-day life. It gets us a lot of things that make our lives go round and be better, including getting to church services. And, you know, so it's really about personal responsibility and taking care to not do things that are unwise and unsafe. And you can certainly do that in a audio or a videotape situation at a church. You can certainly do that in some ways in some of these church facilities as well. And I think that's really kind of maybe not the next step, but it's certainly the next step as for the churches. We've already seen that the Archbishop down in Las Cruces in the Catholic Church has begun to open his churches to mm-hmm. some limited socially distancing oriented mass services for Catholics in the Las Cruces diocese. So nobody's arguing that we should go back to acting just like we did in January or December. This is a new world and we need to be smart and have certain precautions in place, but staying at home, not going to work, not having kids in school, you know, that we're not going to get kids in school, but making this the permanent new normal is not a viable option either. There needs to be a middle ground.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the entities that you've mentioned in your list of eight things that we need to consider to get people back to work. Your first one is to talk about reopening medical facilities. And you're not just talking about hospitals, which most of us would perceive, wow, the hospitals are really busy now. They must be really making a lot of money. And the opposite is true because all the elective surgeries, all of the, you know, doctor visits and all of those things have kind of been part of the quarantine, and they are losing millions as a result.
Yeah, and boy, right there, this one opens up so many cans of worms because you have people like Bernie Sanders and his kind of coalition arguing for total socialism when it comes to healthcare in this country. And they would say, well, this justifies socialism. And I would say, look, you have a government right now that is in charge de facto of our healthcare facilities. And so they are misallocating those resources tremendously. Yes, you have some people getting treated for the coronavirus, but you also have all of these procedures, the ones that actually pay the bills for most medical facilities, whether it's a hospital or a doctor's office. Those are being prohibited right now, eliminated, and the finances of these hospitals all across our state, not to mention just private medical practices, are being completely destroyed. And the question that I think needs to be asked, and we don't go into this because we're not scientists, but what is the cost benefit here in terms of the potential for keeping people away from the coronavirus versus folks who are going without needed, albeit not emergency, medical treatments? You know, a knee replacement may seem like a trivial matter, but if you can't get around, if you're in constant pain, it's a real issue. As I mentioned, Dr. Lisa Shen up in Los Alamos, the amount of medical diagnoses that can be made by an eye doctor is tremendous. You can find potential blockages and other kinds of things that only display themselves upon having an eye exam. So we don't know how the benefits and costs are going to weigh out from a health perspective, but we know for sure that there are going to be tremendous economic repercussions for the hospitals as well as our state. You know, these are people who, you know, medical professionals could be earning money, could be paying taxes, hiring staff, keeping them off unemployment, and not to mention the fact that doctors actually do pay a lot of gross receipts taxes, which are going to be just hammered. That's the biggest single source of revenue outside of oil and gas in this state is the gross receipts tax, and we're just going to have a fraction of what we've had in the past in terms of gross receipts taxes. And yeah, it just seems like a lot of decisions, one size fits all, are being made without a lot of consideration for the impacts, positive and negative.
Well, Paul, we've mentioned to our listeners a number of times a couple of websites we want to point out. TippingPointNM.com, that is a podcast site that you can get a lot of information from podcasts that Paul puts out. And then the RioGrandeFoundation.org is his website, talking about the Constitution, education, the economy, energy, healthcare, the legislature, local government, transparency. And Paul's put out eight suggestions that would really help us get our economy. We've talked about the first one, which is reopen medical facilities. But then you also bring up things like eye doctors, dentists, and other healthcare providers, maybe counselors. And there's got to be a way for them to carefully and thoughtfully and scientifically protect everyone involved, employees, the doctors, and the patients from this COVID outbreak, and, you know, take care of their medical needs at the same time. But it seems like there's a whole side of this thing. You mentioned earlier labeling people that are interested in doing this the death cult. I think we ought to come out with a T-shirt that says death cult on it, and I bet we'd sell a million of those, Paul.
Yeah, and I don't want to underestimate or completely ignore the very real pressure that our governor and her staff are under. She's done some good things in terms of responding to this crisis. And you know, the problem is a crisis evolves and changes as information comes in. And at the outset, I think there was, there's models saying that this was going to kill a lot more people. There was a lot of other considerations. And I think we've just seen a bunker mentality set in Santa Fe, whereas they're considering anybody that doesn't agree with them as a hostile. And that's been a problem, national politics. While Trump has done, I think he's been mixed overall through this process. He's certainly not been the monster that the left made him out to be. If he was a power-hungry person like they say, we'd see a lot more aggressive exercise of federal power. But, he's not done a perfect job. He's tried to learn through this process. I wish he would not necessarily be as hostile to folks on the other side of the issue. But in general, our politicians, our political leaders need to get back to the mentality that we're all in this together. That means differing opinions. It means people who desperately want to keep their businesses going and keep the people they have hired, and that they are willing to try innovative solutions. And, restaurants is one where you could seat people far enough apart and try to not let them go in and out at the same time. Other, just solutions that I think can address the social distancing aspect and also allow some reopening and some people to go back to work. And we're wondering what the rhyme or reason is. And I think everybody, any rational person, has to wonder what the rhyme or reason behind some of these decisions has been.
Absolutely. Well, suggestions 2 and 3 on your list are really interesting to me, because the reason that I live in New Mexico primarily is because I enjoy the outdoors. And you talk about state parks, 35 of them in New Mexico have been closed down. Golf courses have been closed down. And we talk about social distancing, forget 6 feet. How about, 100 feet? You could probably open up these parks and the golf courses and have plenty of distancing. Maybe you can't ride in a cart. Or you put one person in a cart at a time. Maybe that's the answer. Or you walk the golf course, which is better exercise anyway. We immediately, should be doing this. I mean, I've got several friends of mine that operate pro shops and instruction and everything at a couple city courses, Arroyo del Oso and Ladera. And these guys are just being hammered because people cannot go out and enjoy the outdoors. And then when you start talking about the mental health of people, we talk about spiritual matters all the time, but boy, you absolutely need to get outside and do some other things. And I think you could do that safely on the golf course or in our state parks. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And, again, not a scientist, but I know that vitamin D, which is derived from being out in the sun, is a big part of your health and being, able to fight off this and other viruses. And just the idea that some people have that you just have to stay home and not go out of your house, that's certainly not the way my family and I are dealing with this particular situation. I have 3 young children, as you and I talk regularly, and I couldn't deal with having three small children in the house all the time. So we've done all kinds of things where we have the ability. But yeah, golf courses, they can be modified in ways to minimize some of the problems with the virus, such as they may be, which, you know, I think, again, all of these issues can be solved if you just don't put your hand on your mouth after you do things, like take the flag out at the golf course. Well, the flags can be eliminated entirely, or they can put things in the hole, the golf hole, to stop the ball from going in there. I played right before things got shut down, and they took the rakes that you rake the sand traps with off of the golf courses. You know, you're right about the golf carts, keeping two people, you know, that should be done. I don't care if they have golf carts at all. Yeah, make everybody walk. Everybody needs the exercise, especially if you're cooped up at home. And then the parks. Much of our, I counted, about half of our 35 state parks involve bodies of water. Mm. You know, stuff like Elephant Butte. And, you know, we don't have that much surface water in this state. Going out fishing on a boat in the middle of a lake is about as socially distanced as you can possibly get. And I just find it absurd. Yeah, there's a minimal amount of staffing requirements if you want to charge a fee. Now, you know, I've been up to Sandia Crest. They've stopped charging fees. I've been to the Elena Gallegos Open Space. They don't charge a fee for that. Great. Don't charge the fee. Allow people to just go in there. It just stuns me that there haven't been more creative approaches to either the state park situation or the golf courses. Thankfully, a lot of nationally owned facilities remain open, so you can still go for a hike on national forest lands around here. You can still go to the petroglyphs on the west side of Albuquerque. There are opportunities, but it seems like they're unnecessarily limiting them. And of course, golf courses are, you know, a part of the economy that involves hiring people and having staff there working. They can be innovative with that, but again, people employed, paying taxes, not sitting at home, being depressed on unemployment, I think is a win-win for everybody.
Wow, we have got a lot more to talk about, Paul. I appreciate all the insights you're giving us. Hope you can stay with us for another couple segments. We'll be back with more on ABQ Connect right after this.
Listen to this hotspot as Skip Heitzig shares a lesson about owning your faith.
So he is mentored by this priest. He becomes king himself, Joash, Jehoash. So now you have a politician with a godly background. He does what is right in the sight of the Lord.
The story doesn't end there.
But his righteousness only lasts while his mentor lasts. When his mentor dies, when the priest dies, he starts taking on the values of the people around him.
Find more from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
If your faith is only propped up by others, you will stumble when those props are gone.
Now this from Skip about deep roots.
You need to come to a place where you build your own roots, man, and you stand before God yourself, man or woman of God, and you are getting the strength directly from the Holy Spirit so that when they die or if they fall or something happens, your faith is not shaken. Your faith is not shaken.
Hello, this is Chaplain Jim Meyer from High Desert Hospice. I want you to know that we're praying for you and to remind you that you're not alone. In times of crisis and uncertainty, it's important to cling to that which we know, that we're cared for and deeply loved by God. David had this confidence when he wrote in Psalm 28, verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped." So from our family at High Desert Hospice to yours, be encouraged.
Life can take an unexpected turn in your home or business by fire or flood. As a result, you may have mold problems. Let the experts put your mind at ease with a quick response from locally owned water extraction experts. They'll provide service within the hour, are available 24/7 for emergencies, and work with all insurance companies. Professional, certified, and friendly technicians are here to do the job right the first time. Call the experts now at 505-250-6500 or visit them online at WaterExtractionExperts.com.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten Son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel. And never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Paul Gessing, president of the Rio Grande Foundation, on the phone with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. And we're talking about coronavirus and how it's affected us all nationally and how we can get New Mexico back to work. We've talked a little bit about how you could possibly reopen medical facilities and how we ought to consider opening state parks and golf courses. And boy, there's a lot to that, Paul. It seems very logical, seems very simple. And although we're not either of us scientists, seems like this would be easily supported by science and the current restrictions put out by the CDC and all of the other rules and regulations that the governor has imposed. Seems like this would all be conforming to all of that.
Yeah, and, you know, we may not have the scientific expertise, but it's really not on us to prove that X, Y, and Z policy is scientifically sound. It's really up to the governor and her advisors to show scientific evidence to the rest of us that their policies are justified, whatever they may be. And we've talked about, of course, you know, the golf courses. We talked about state parks and medical facilities as well. You know, one of the problems that we really have with the mentality that we've seen out of Santa Fe is that we're not seeing that give and take, that evidence-based decision-making, and a revealing on her and their part of how they are going about making their decisions. And one of the things that you hear from businesses outside of kind of we don't understand why we're on one side or the other of the line is, will we be open on May 1st, which is the earliest possibility that we've really seen out of the governor? What metrics need to be achieved by that date in order for us to be reopened? What decisions are being made in Santa Fe, and how are those decisions being made? It's, again, I hate to say it, but it's really a bunker mentality that we're seeing. Now, before we get into some of these other points, I'm going to go back to Twitter and read you a tweet from Governor Lujan Grisham. It's ostensibly relating to the Republicans winning a Supreme Court case about mail-in ballots, and mm-hmm. we could talk about that briefly, but the tweet really reveals, I think, her thought process, and it says, in-person voting poses a grave threat of heightened transmission of COVID-19. I remain confident New Mexico's primary election can be conducted almost entirely, if not entirely, through mail to ensure the safest possible exercise of New Mexicans' right to vote. Well, that primary election is June the 2nd. Mm-hmm. And she's essentially saying right there that you can't vote in person because of a grave threat of heightened transmission. So my kind of reading of the tea leaves, so to speak, is that she's looking at a pretty cautious approach here in keeping New Mexico shut down at least through early June. You know, maybe she's making a political point about mail-in ballots and her preference for that, but she's essentially saying it's not safe enough to vote in person by the beginning of June. I suspect she's not going to be too keen on letting people golf, letting people go to the nursery to buy plants, letting people go to the state parks, all the things that we currently see shut down. So I found that tweet to be very revealing, especially in these days when you're not getting a lot of information to the public that actually clarifies these issues. You know, they used to have these folks, and you and I are old enough to remember the Cold War. Mm-hmm. They had Kremlinologists, they call them, people who read the kind of subtext of statements coming out of the Soviet Politburo. Well, that's kind of where we are at this point, resorting to that kind of reading of the tea leaves. And this is a pretty direct statement, in my opinion, that she's looking beyond May. So I would say that based on that statement, we're not going to be open in May at all.
So, Paul, we right now have 112 elected officials that are currently in office. Those offices are all up for grabs come this November. We're having the primary that you mentioned on June 2nd. And you mentioned the Supreme Court case. The New Mexico Republican Party, of course, filed that against, you know, having mail-in ballots. They wanted some accountability. They wanted to prevent fraud. Steve Pierce, again, will be talking on the show a little bit about that tomorrow. But I was reading on the opinion section of the Albuquerque Journal today that the Supreme Court really came up with a compromise. What they're planning on doing, apparently, is they are going to mail absentee ballots to everyone that is registered to vote. And you're then going to have the opportunity to respond very quickly and get your votes in and be counted. But, you know, I vote, for example, in Corrales. The last three or four elections, when I've gone to vote, there hasn't been anyone in the toll or the voting area except me. And maybe two volunteers that are running the voting site. So again, social distancing and all of that is really, frankly, easy to achieve. And you could have somebody in the corner with, you know, a spray bottle of disinfectant going around and just wiping everything down periodically. I don't think it'd be that big a problem.
Yeah. Again, I think this gets into the one size fits all decision making that we're seeing. This is a primary, not a partisan election in the sense that if you're a Republican, you'll vote for Republican candidates, theoretically. Mm-hmm. If you're Democrats, you'll be voting for Democratic candidates. The nominations are sealed up for the presidency, which is, of course, the one that at least most Democrats this time around were interested in. Joe Biden's got it in the bag. President Trump, of course, will be the Republican nominee. You have a handful of legislative primaries, and those are important. You have, of course, Senate and U.S. Senate and House of Representatives. Those are critical races as well. But I'm not expecting the turnout, and we're not talking just Election Day. We're talking early voting, and I think there's adequate approaches that can be used to do early voting, especially in a socially distancing friendly manner. And those really aren't being considered or discussed in any serious way. So it is definitely a frustrating aspect to all this. I would have to look through more carefully what exactly the Supreme Court is looking at doing, if there's any innovative solutions. I can tell you that the Republican Party, you know, why they're concerned is, you know, we saw in the APS mail-in election, I had people calling me on a very regular basis, and the Rio Grande Foundation was involved in that, back, January, February of last year, that we were really seeing people getting ballots in the mail who had left the state of New Mexico 5, 7, 8 years. They were dead, whatever. So you had all these ballots floating around. Thankfully, it seemed to work out okay. We obviously had an overwhelming turnout in opposition to APS tax increase. And I don't think it'll be a problem this cycle right now with the primary because, you know, I think the most concern about voter fraud gets into the presidential election and just having some ballot integrity. And, you know, it's really upon the Secretary of State to maintain the voter rolls and have processes in place to make that accurate information. And I think we've been lax on that. We've seen Secretaries of State be lax and keep people on the voter rolls beyond their expiration date for political reasons. Mm-hmm. And so the Republican Party, I think, was really taking some prophylactic measures to prevent the potential for a mail-in election in November or in a future election. It's not so much about June, because again, it's Republicans voting just for Republicans and Democrats voting just for Democrats.
Well, we're all talking about how we can get our state back to work, and Paul Gessing is president of the Rio Grande Foundation. We've only got here, Paul, about 8-9 minutes left, so I've still got a whole plethora of questions to ask you. But one of the other things that I think would be really therapeutic for people is to open back up the nurseries. You know, you go to any of the local nurseries in town. You even go to the Home Depots or the Lowe's. You're pretty spread out. And, of course, they can limit the number of people that are in. But, you know, getting out and being able to do some gardening and buy those kinds of products, I guess you can go to a Lowe's or a Home Depot right now, but you can't go to like Osuna Nursery or Jericho Nursery or some of those folks, and they've got to be really hurting as a result.
Yeah, and I would lump in kind of point six as well, which is liquor stores, which were initially open but were closed. And, you know, whatever your views on alcohol, et cetera, people are going to be home in this situation. It's not that you can't buy liquor or you can't buy plants. It's that they're regulating where you can get them. And in both of these cases, they're kind of funneling more people than necessary into these big box stores. Your local small businesses are being shut down. You know, you can go and buy liquor at the grocery store, but, and we're in Albuquerque, so we think of grocery store, liquor store, you know, Total Wine or whoever, no big deal. But in a lot of places around the state, rural communities, all you have is a nursery or a liquor store down the road. And so now you're forcing people to drive, you know, often 20, 30 minutes to pick up these things and wait in line in big crowds with everybody else. You know, maybe they're doing socially distancing well there, but it's the time factor and it's the economic factor in these rural communities, especially where they're being impacted by these, again, cookie cutter, one size fits all policies, because, you know, a nursery should be able to be open just the same as the Home Depot or the Lowe's, and just as a liquor store down the road should be able to be open selling the same product that your local Albertsons or Smith's or Walmart can. Mm-hmm. It's really, quite frankly, absurd and ridiculous, because it's counterproductive to what we're supposed to be trying to do. We're trying to spread people out, not lump them all together in these big box and grocery stores.
Paul, I'm really interested in this one. This is number five on your list, and I'm going to kind of pose this scenario. I'm imagining 6 months from now, the governor of the state of New Mexico will present that she limited gun crimes in this state by making sure that all the gun stores were closed, and that's going to be justification for, you know, getting rid of the guns. Now, I'm a target shooter. I really enjoy going to calibers. I love to go out to a couple of the ranges we have locally. Mostly outdoor ranges, you're not going to have any problem at all with social distancing. When you go to a place like Calibers, maybe they can't have someone in every shooting lane, but you could definitely spread people out every other lane and maintain all of the recommended requirements for social distancing.
Yeah, and you know, between this one and the churches being shut down, and kind of the governor taking an aggressive stance, it really makes you question the politics of this. We know that the governor's pushed for gun control and gun restrictions in the last two legislative sessions, and it really doesn't make a great deal of sense, again, from a logistical point of view. Louis Sanchez, I believe is his name, the owner of Calibers, he has spoken very clearly, saying even those gun ranges in recent times with the coronavirus were limited to just you know, police officers, military, border patrol, those kinds of folks. They were doing curbside product delivery. It just strikes me as very tin-eared and very political that The governor then, I think it was Friday of last week, issued a cease and desist order for Calibers, which had tried to remain open despite not being considered an essential business. And again, you know, is this about the virus, or is this about some kind of political point, or making the other side, so to speak, feel pain? And you know, there's plenty of Democrats who are good Christians as well, but
yes.
Certainly the some of the churches that are being targeted by this, it seems like there's an unnecessarily political aspect to it. You know, if I was the governor and I would work with the mayor, I would say, you know, they have that sunrise Easter service at the Lobo Stadium. I would have rented out the Lobo Stadium and the Isotopes Park, socially distanced everybody to get into those places, made sure that everybody getting in and getting out was safe and socially distant, and then had Easter services for each denomination that wanted to have their flock in one of those two places, and try to get everybody accommodated as much as possible. Could you imagine how unifying and exciting that would be? You know, maybe not everybody could get to church on that Sunday, but it's a lot better than harassing services, dealing with court cases, all those kinds of things. I just think that instead of using this opportunity, which this virus in many ways could be a unifying opportunity for our state, for our local community, and for our nation as a whole, we've seen the same kind of divisions crop up, especially here in New Mexico with our governor, and it's very unfortunate.
Well, it's neat what you're saying, Paul, because one of the things I try to achieve here at ABQ Connect is I really want the Christian churches to come together, and that's all of our Catholic parishes, that's all of our Protestant denominations, that's the evangelicals and the conservatives and everybody in between, and you're absolutely right. You know, we have 33 counties in the state of New Mexico, and our prior year legislative session, the governor tried to impose some gun control measures. And the funny thing was, is largely our state is Democrat. But I will tell you this, when she tried to do that, she failed miserably. Not only did she not get counties throughout the state of New Mexico to adopt gun control, but her Democrat cohorts adopted the language of sanctuary and said, not only are we not going to give you our guns, but we're going to become sanctuary gun counties. And all of that gun control stuff was miserably defeated. And I bring that up only because, you know, we do speak to a faith-based audience. We want to reach out to Christians. And Paul, I need you to leave us with a challenge for our listeners. We're talking about all the stuff that needs to be done. How do we get our representatives to get it done? Is it worth calling and emailing people right now?
Well, I think that the governor is somebody who at this point needs to be kind of left alone. We can kind of do our own thing in terms of reacting to what she's saying, trying to encourage small businesses, support them, do the things that we can do every day, getting takeout from the places, especially mom and pops that we like, talking to your friends and family members, writing pieces either online or whatever you can do to kind of encourage a more open approach to things. I do think the legislature is a good starting point. You can find out who your legislators are at nmlegis.gov. You can find our pledge at riograndefoundation.org/pledge and talk to your legislators online. They're kind of in this waiting in the wings mindset where they are waiting to see when the governor calls them up to Santa Fe and what they're going to do when they get there. So the legislators are kind of open and eager to hear more from their constituents as to what they need to be doing up in Santa Fe. Sure, a lot of them have their own mindsets and opinions, but we need to say no tax increases. Government needs to be addressed, the overspending and the overreach of government, and we need to do that when we get up to Santa Fe. And it's going to be tough stuff. Don't get me wrong. I think we're going to be looking at a budget that's quite a bit smaller than Governor Susana Martinez's final budget when she left office. So That's going to be some big decisions.
Good stuff. Paul Gessing, president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Thank you, Paul, so much. We appreciate your time. And we'll see you tomorrow. We'll have Congressman Steve Pierce, chairman of the Republican Party, on the program. Have a great day.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.